Let's turn together in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. There's one verse from Proverbs 22, and then a few verses in Proverbs chapter 23. As I said a moment ago, this particular sermon is going to be directed to wisdom within the family. And as a church congregation, we have a multitude of reasons to be reminded of the need for proper teaching and training within the home. We've had a baby born this past week, Lord willing, one born this week. We have profession of faiths coming up later in next month. So lots of opportunities to be reminded of the responsibilities of teaching and training your children in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. So Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. If you're using the Black Pew Bible, that's page 637. Proverbs 22 at verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Then turn the page with me to 23. Chapter 23, verses 13 through 16. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. And that's as far as reading in God's Word this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, where do we get wisdom? Where is wisdom found? Well, as we saw last week, wisdom will only be found, truth will only be discerned when you have submitted yourself to the Lord, when you look to Him with that fear, reverence, and awe, and connected to that fear, reverence, and awe is to receive the instruction of the Lord in His Word, to receive the Scripture as God's Word, which is, as 2 Timothy says, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training a man in righteousness that he might be mature, fully equipped for the works that the Lord has set before him. Well, since wisdom is to be found in submission to the Lord, reverence to the Lord, and in receiving His Word as the content of truth, how does that apply to the family? Well, this past week I saw in the news that a school in Georgia is reintroducing corporal punishment, meaning that flagrant disobedience will earn you a literal whack paddle to the backside. It used to be, the previous generations, that the school was seen as an extension of the home. The work that was taking place in the home continued under the direction and authority of the parents within the school. But today we live in a world which is vacuum, without, it's void. There's no discipline. So are we surprised that there is a lack of wisdom? For without discipline, you will not have wisdom. Last week we also saw that Jesus was revealed as God's power and wisdom, that He is the truth. He has revealed wisdom to us in His Word. But how does the ministry of Jesus Christ change, or I would say direct, the family dynamic? In other words, the question we are going to deal with today is there a difference between a Christian home and a secular home? Is there a difference in the application of wisdom when parents fear the Lord and look to His Word first and foremost? How will that direct the child that is being raised? The fear of the Lord is central to the home life. Each member in the home is to be seen as serving the Lord and obeying and honoring Him. So today the book of Proverbs is going to take the position of a father. In chapter 3, verse 1, the writer of the Proverbs says, my son, do not forget my teaching, Yes, it may have applied to a literal father-son relationship, but more than likely it applied to a king teaching his son how to be a good king. Who is the child? The child is one who is being raised to be a faithful citizen within the kingdom of God. Who is a child? Well, I dare say everyone here is a child. Everyone here was raised by a father and mother. But we are children in more than one sense. Because of Jesus Christ, the Catechism says, because of the only begotten Son, we too are children. Children not born, but children adopted of God. We call God our Heavenly Father. So the application that we find in this particular text applies to us all in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense. To say this another way, children, you not only need to learn to listen to your father and mother, as we read earlier in Ephesians, but whatever position you find yourself in, maybe you are 60, 70, 80 years old, never been married, don't have any children, you are still a child. You are still a child of God and called to submit to Him and to His Word. So we look at this theme that Jesus Christ instructs the family in the way of wisdom. Children, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day which path you will follow. Will you take the path of wisdom, which leads to life and blessing, or will you choose to remain on the path of folly, which leads to cursing and death? So the theme is this: Jesus Christ instructs the family in the way of wisdom. We start then with our first point, which is the need for discipline. The word discipline that we read earlier in Proverbs 22 and 23 in the Hebrew is maskar, and it's a very rich, packed word. We read discipline as a good translation of it, but it is a fully faceted correction, instruction, and training. This word discipline includes both direction and rebuke. Discipline is a rod that teaches knowledge, that teaches wisdom and instruction, and it becomes a teaching tool when a person refuses to acknowledge and embrace that which is true and right. Discipline has become a dirty word in our society. Discipline is viewed as a mean-faced, unreasonable rod wielder that is ready to strike you at the least provocation. But here, wisdom is presented as being taught by discipline. That discipline is that which teaches you proper action, proper belief. And if you refuse proper action and proper belief, discipline rebukes you and corrects you. But why do we need this? Why do all of us here need discipline? Why do we need instruction and correction? Well, as you know, in Adam, when we fell into sin, we lost true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. We lost right understanding, and we are incapable of right action. Foolishness, folly, is now Adam's children's default position. Look at what we find in 22 verse 15. 22 verse 15 says this: folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Every child that is born after Adam and Eve fell has folly like a little green monster residing in their heart. Folly is bound up there. That is our birthright, to think little of God and to despise His Word. And if left to our own ways, this little seed of folly, which is sown in our hearts, will grow and grow unchallenged and will produce a bitter flower in our lives. A rebellious weed grows in the heart of every child. This is the exact opposite of what Pelagius taught. Pelagius taught that we sin because we follow bad examples. But the Bible says you sin because you are born a sinner. You are foolish because when you are a child, you have folly bound up in your heart. We are unwise, both in the things of nature and foolish in the things of the soul. We are, on the one hand, gullible and ignorant. Every parent here can testify to the ignorance of their child. How many parents here have had to tell their children, "Little one, don't ride your bike in the middle of the street. Little one, don't put that in your mouth. Little one, don't touch that. Little one, don't go there." Why do we need to teach our children that? Because foolishness is bound in their hearts. And unfortunately, we are all slow learners. And we need the prick of pain to enforce the point of instruction from our parents. But more specifically, we're not only ignorant concerning the things of nature, we are foolish when it comes to spiritual things. No child by nature welcomes the word of the Lord. No child by nature submits themselves by fearing the Lord. The foolish path is the easiest path. It is our default position, and it leads to death and destruction. That is why parents need to instruct their children, to teach them the way that is wise for this life and the way that leads to life in the world that is to come. So parents, begin at the earliest stage teaching their children, don't trust what your mind tells you. Trust what we tell you, what the Word of God tells you. So parents are teaching their children the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. And maybe this past week, parents, you were going over the catechism memory verse or memory passage from Scripture with your children because you are concerned about their future. And you know if you leave them to themselves, it will not end well. Truth, knowledge, wisdom comes from the outside and needs to be taught to us, instructed to us. It's not ascertained or discovered by human logic or reasoning. We need to be instructed in the way, shown what is the path of righteousness and truth. And when a child refuses to bow the knee to truth, righteousness, and holiness, then the rod of discipline reappears and applies the truth to drive the child away from the path of destruction. Driving the child and driving foolishness from their hearts. Look at how 15b continues. The rod of discipline will drive foolishness far from the heart of a child. A child is by nature like a wild Mustang, unbridled, dangerous, if left to themselves, unhelpful, and even putting their own life in danger. But a disciplined child is like a tamed horse, gentle and useful. By nature, a child, like a Mustang, wants to go its own way, do its own thing, but discipline taps them on the nose and says, "You don't want to do that. Don't go that way. Don't believe that. Don't act that way, because it will end to your destruction." So what does godly discipline look like? Well, godly discipline is a content and an application. It is a world and life view. The rod of discipline is not found in a vacuum. As I said before, the word discipline is a big content. It's not just, you've done something wrong, now you're being punished. That's not discipline. Discipline starts with teaching, training, instructing, warning. It is godly discipline is seeking to bring God's word to bear on the heart and life of that child. Discipline is motivated with a heart of love and has the future in mind. The goal is maturity and obedience, and the standard is God's word. when the rod of correction is needed, it is used reasonably and with charity. If a spank is deserved, a spank should be preceded with instruction and followed with an affirmation of love. I have found even in my own household that a prayer of confession and assurance of pardon after the spank is a helpful way of applying discipline to the heart. A parent's chief concern is not, "Don't do this because you're embarrassing me." A parent's chief concern is, "You are acting in a way that shows sin is still crouching, foolishness is still crouching in your heart. I will address the action because it displays what is living in your soul." So you speak to the heart of your child. You're addressing spiritual matters here. And you take the gospel and you bring it to your child. Your goal is not only a changed action, but you're bringing the word, you're bringing the gospel to bear upon your seed. A softened heart, that is the wellspring of life. You're reminding your child who they are. You're not only my child, you are baptized. You're a child of God. You belong to the Lord before you belong to me. And since you belong to the Lord, this action is not acceptable. So we strive as Christian parents to be more like the author of Proverbs. "My son, listen to me. Heed my word. Let me teach you the way of life and blessing." So children, this is verse 23, verse 22. "Since you know your parents have your spiritual, not only your present good, but your spiritual eternal good in mind, therefore," 23 verse 22 says, "listen to your father and your mother. Do not despise them when they are old." We read that earlier from Ephesians. Honor your father and your mother. Why? Because God has given your father and mother to you to be the instruments of wisdom, to teach you the way of life and blessing. So when discipline is done well, what is the desired effect? What is the benefit of this discipline? Well, back in 22 verse 15, we read this. When discipline is used rightly, folly is normally driven away. A child is by nature attracted to foolishness, and foolishness is bound up in their heart. But discipline seeks to drive the child from the foolish path, and it seeks to rip out that rebellious plant that's growing in their heart. There is a twofold benefit that is found. A twofold benefit is, first and foremost, a change of outward behavior. And secondly, it is a change in inward disposition. First of all, the outward behavior is corrected. There is an obvious and immediate benefit when a child submits to the instruction of their godly parents, because it is made evident in this life by how they act. Ephesians 6 says, "Children, honor and obey your father and mother so that it may go well with you." Here referencing what we read earlier from Deuteronomy, the commandment dealing, number 5, dealing with parents and children. It is the first commandment with a promise, and the promise is this: that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land in which you will soon possess. When parents teach their children how to live and act properly, and their children embrace that and receive that as true discipline, as true wisdom, then there is a benefit in this life. It's very easy to see how this would be made evident. Children, how does your schooling, your education go when you listen to your teachers, you submit to instruction, and you obey? Goes pretty well. What about if you disobey, throw off correction, and you dishonor those whom God has placed over you? It doesn't end well. Well, what happens in school will make itself known in the workplace, will make itself known in the church, will make itself known in society. A child that does not learn discipline and instruction in the home is being set up for a life of conflict, a life of hardship in the school, in the church, in the home, in society as a whole. It doesn't go well with them. They end up with a really hard life. And one of the difficult things that parents have to do sometimes is to let their children feel the responsibilities of their actions. I have told you, little one, that this is how you are to live. I have said that if you do this, it will end well. This is the path of blessing, but I can't make you go this way. So you let the child make their own decision, and they feel the consequences. So a well-disciplined life, children, is one in which your parents are seeking for you to prepare you for the days and trials that are to come. Parents teach their children about everything from authority to the how to work, the use of money, simple things like good hygiene and eating habits. These are all things that are training your children for a good and prosperous future, a long life dwelling at peace in this land. But there is a second benefit which our passage speaks of, and you still have your Bibles open. I want to read a few verses from 20, verse 30, that says this. Blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. And back in 23, verse 11, we read this. 23, verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Verse 14, punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. There is a spiritual component that is a good and necessary consequence, an outflowing of godly instruction in the home. There is a spiritual component to discipline. And it is the desire of Christian parents to teach the way of righteousness and life. When a child is taught by their parents not only that this is a sin, but that there is a solution to this sin found in the blood of Jesus Christ, parents are teaching their children the gospel. And in teaching them the gospel, they're teaching them the need for faith and repentance. And they're teaching their children to flee from death, to flee to Christ for life. Back in Proverbs 3, verse 2, Solomon said that length of days and years of life, even peace, will be added unto you. Earlier, we read from Ephesians chapter 6. That was our first reading. Here, Paul says that it will go well with you, that you will live long in the land. There's a spiritual component to that, a spiritual sense. Not only will you enjoy long life in this life, but if you receive the proper instruction of your parents concerning spiritual things, it will go well with you in the life that is to come. Parents point their children to Christ. So, little ones, if you are following the instruction of your parents as they point you to Christ, and you go where your parents would bid you go, you find that your soul is delivered from hell as you trust in Jesus Christ. You learn to hate sin and to love obedience and to submit yourself to God's word. To say this another way, parents are a child's first pastor. Mom and dad, you are your children's first pastor. The gospel that you hold dear, we're charged to give that, to bestow that to our seed, looking for the blessings of this life and the life to come. And finally, the third blessing is joy. Joy, 29 verse 17 says this, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. There is joy. Joy, blessings, happiness, peace, prosperity, blessings for those who are instructed and for their parents. Not only is it good for the child, it's good for the parents. Read earlier, or we sang earlier from Psalm 127 that talks about having your quiver full. That joy of having sons born in your youth. That delight of having a wife that is like a fruitful vine. When a child responds to wisdom, not only is the child given the blessings of joy and comfort and peace, but the parents themselves have great joy. Listen to what 2 John 1 verse 4 says. 3 John 1 verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now that's spoken in a spiritual sense, but I could absolutely say that as a father. And I imagine you as Christian parents could say the same thing. I have no greater joy. Nothing makes me happier than to know that my children are walking in the truth. That they have acknowledged the source of wisdom. That they fear the Lord. And they submit to His word. Say whatever you will about the future of your children. Your children could be the most well-known or popular or rich. But it's here that Christian parents find true joy in the spiritual life of their little ones. As Eli found out with Hophni and Phinehas, his sons were a source of constant pain and regret. But happy is the man, blessed is the man, whose quiver is full of Christian obedient children. Well, as we come to our last point, we find that this discipline not only has blessings, but it is tempered, meaning that it is to be moderated. There is a softening to the discipline, which we find particularly in Ephesians 6. But we also find this in chapter 13, verse 24. Read with me, if you will, from Proverbs 13, verse 24, where we find this. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. The rod is to be mitigated by mercy, discipline motivated by love. We just read that if you spare the rod, you do in fact hate your child. If you don't discipline your children, meaning instruction and the consequences if they fail to heed your instruction, you hate your child. But when you do discipline, you are to be motivated by love. Motivated by love when you discipline. How many parents here have not had the red-hot rage of anger move them into discipline, when it would have been wiser to take a breath and to mitigate your wrath? Because love is like the sugar coating that makes the bitter pill of rebuke easier to swallow. This applies to us as parents of children, but it also applies perfectly to the discipline that we receive from the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 12 says this: the Lord disciplines the ones He loves, as the Father, the Son in whom He delights. The Lord disciplines the ones He loves. The Lord is motivated by love when He disciplines us. Hebrews echoes the same thing in Hebrews chapter 12. God disciplines the ones He loves. God has given us His word, 2 Timothy 3. The word is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that we might be equipped for the good works that we are called to perform. God is seeking our maturity, and He is motivated by love. That makes His discipline easier to receive. When He corrects us, when He rebukes us, when He uses the rod of discipline, when we have strayed, He is calling us back to Himself because He loves us. So when we apply that truth to us as parents of earthly children, we must be motivated by love. God treats us as beloved children. When He teaches corrects us, rebukes, corrects, and trains us. So we must be motivated by love. The opposite of love must be guarded against, and that is hatred and unjust anger. The tendency is towards being either too harsh or being too lax. We're to avoid the extremes of both ignoring your family and idolizing your family. So on the one hand, it is unloving to spare the rod, to reject the call to discipline your children, to ignore your duty to constantly and consistently discipline is actually hatred, as 13 verse 24 says. Only those who hate their children will neglect the rod of discipline. But on the other side, the opposite danger is harshness. And we read this back from Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, fathers were told, and by way of extension, parents as a whole, do not provoke your children. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Discipline must not be motivated by unchecked anger. When we use a rod of discipline upon our children, when we are not in control of our faculties, if we are lashing out in anger, we are in danger of driving a wedge between not only them and us, but between them and the Lord. Christian discipline is teaching children how God loves us, how God disciplines us, to be made evident in how we discipline our children. If we or our expectations are unrealistic or our rebuke is uncaring, we are failing to show them the very mercy and grace that we ourselves need. This is not to say that we ignore sin, but we deal with sin as sin. Right? It's a spiritual matter with a physical component. Sin is a spiritual matter. It's not a personal attack on me as a parent, although sometimes it feels that way. It is an attack on the holiness of God. Therefore, we deal with it as a spiritual matter. And since we see sin as sin, there is a solution found in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So that's where we bring them. That's the end result. Because if you're dealing with sin as a simple physical thing, or they're hurting how I feel, or hurting my emotions, it's missing that spiritual component. So we are careful not to be too severe and crush the heart and spirit of our child by being unnecessarily harsh and provoking them to wrath. But there is one more area in which this discipline is mitigated, and that's in our own inability. In discipline, we acknowledge our own inability. The fact is, Christian parents, you cannot change the hearts of your children. You can be faithful in everything that you are called to do, teaching, training, correcting, rebuking when necessary, using the rod of discipline when they are straying into foolishness. But it is Christ who, by his Spirit, must give our children hearts of flesh. Therefore, Christian parents, pray for your children. Pray for your children. And when your child rebels, it does not mean that you have failed. It may be that you have done your duty faithfully and diligently. When we see a wayward child, we acknowledge that by nature we too would have gone that way. And by God's grace, a prodigal son may return. So as parents, we cling to the covenant. We hold on to the promises of God where he said, I will be your God and the God of your seed of your children. We cry out to God and his faithfulness, asking him to, by his Spirit, touch the hearts and lives of our little ones. So we pray and we work, seeking to discipline, to correct them, so that they, along with we, might grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, seeking to raise our children in the fear, reverence, honor, and obedience to the Lord. To conclude, We have just begun our journey through the various topics and themes of Proverbs. We find that wisdom is found in submission to the Lord, embracing His word. And God uses wise teachers to instruct His children. Jesus Christ instructs families in the way of wisdom. As I said before, parents in the home are the closest, earliest, and most consistent pastors that a child will ever have. Matthew Henry says this: severe rebuke does a great deal of good, as the cure to a wound is the removal of the proud flesh. In other words, in order for discipline to work, it has to sometimes hurt. May we submit to the Lord and be faithful in loving discipline, motivated by love with their future in mind, knowing that God uses godly parents and their discipline to teach us wisdom. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we begin by thanking you for godly parents, as many in this congregation have had godly parents. We thank you for the good instruction that we received. We pray for those who are parents, that they would be equipped for the work that they are called to do, to teach and train their children in the fear and knowledge of you and your word. And for those who are straying, O Lord, we pray that you would call them back as the prodigal son, touch their hearts, turn them from the way of sin and rebellion, pull out the root of foolishness from their heart, and may they remember the wise instruction that they received when they were young. O Lord, impress your word upon us, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and we thank you for your Spirit who calls us and enables us to do the work that we are called to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.